All right, let's turn to Revelation
chapter 3.
This is the story of the seventh church, the seventh and last church. Only it's not really referring to a church, or it is really referring to a church, but it's also referring to an age or a church age. And so the first thing is, in the first century, when John lived, the writer to the book of Revelation, God, through his son Jesus, through an angel to John, to the churches, and to their angels. So there were seven literal churches. You started with Ephesus, which is in the Aegean Sea, about 60 miles out. And then you go up about 60 miles, and you go to the next town, Smyrna, and then Pergamum, which is another 40 miles. And then you start coming down again, and so on. And so each of these churches are in a line. You can trace them. You can go up north and then come down and then go a little to the west and so on. And Sardis and then Philadelphia and then the last one, Laodicea. And that one goes back and it's about 100 miles also from Ephesus. So you make kind of a circle. It's not literally a circle at all. But you can make a circle out of it and just keep going. So those are literally in Asia Minor, which today we call Turkey, which is where some of the problems are. It used to be a Christian country, and Paul had ministered early on to Asia Minor, and John became, he was the last one that lived, he became then the bishop or the elder or whatever of all those seven churches. So when Jesus speaks, he's the only one that's alive. Now all the disciples are dead. It's 95 A.D. Domitian, who's the emperor, decides to persecute Christians. Nero had done it in 64 for about 3.5 years, 4 years. And he had killed a lot of Christians, burned them at the stake, tied their bodies, wrapped them in rags, and burned them for his garden at night so people could enjoy themselves with a lighted garden party. And so Christians were killed, and he blamed them for burning Rome when actually he burned it, and so on. So it's an interesting story. Well, this is the second one then under Domitian, and he killed about 40,000 Christians. So, or tortured them. And John escaped that. But John was persecuted and beaten and so on and so forth. And then he sent him out to the Isle of Patmos, which is about 60 miles out into the water toward Italy in that direction, actually southwest. And Ephesus was his main headquarters, that was his main church. And then he sent him out there because he was a Christian and he wanted to get rid of them. So it was a policy of each emperor to make up their own, whether they hated the Christians or loved the Christians or not. Some favored them, some hated them, and some just left them alone. So there was all kinds of attitudes. It was never an official law of the Roman Empire that Christians were illegal or something. They just didn't know what to do with them. And so each emperor made up his own mind. Now, so this is the second in 95, and he sends him out on the island, and that's an island about 10 miles long, about 4 miles wide, and it's nothing on there, no trees, no nothing. It's just bare rock. So it's kind of like Alcatraz. It's not a fun place to go because there's nothing happening there. And so it was desolate for him, and guess what? God visited the little island and gave him this revelation for all these churches, seven of them, and said, tell each one of these churches what I'm about to tell you and write it down. Well, naturally, being a prisoner out there, you don't have a lot of writing paper. And so it was miraculous that God would give him this revelation Some say his eyes might have been gouged out by then and boiled in hot oil, different things. But regardless of when that happened or how it happened, he'll be dead in a year. But he got this revelation when he couldn't see. And so now, what good is a revelation when you can't see? But he heard the voice, and it was on the Lord's day. It was like today, Sunday. And on the Lord's day, first day of the week, he got this vision, and he was blown away by it. Like, ha, what the devil meant for evil, God's turning it to good, because I'm getting the only book that God himself, the Father, ever wrote. And this is Jesus' book, because the Father speaking to the Son, and then the Son, through the angel, reveals it to John, who then writes it down for the churches, those seven churches, and then for us. And each church is a candlestick. Now, a candlestick means God had seven spirits before his throne, the Father up in heaven. And on that candlestick, that was an age. So 100 years have gone by since Jesus had been born into the world. So the first 30 of those, Jesus was the foundation, the cornerstone of the church. But until he finished his ministry and was killed, crucified, and then he said, before I die, he said, let me just say something. In a little while, just hang on, in a few days, I'm going to start my church. Happy birthday to you. That was when the church started. And so Jesus was killed 50 days later. The church was born. So now we're 60-some years, 66 years later, and John is on the Isle of Patmos, exiled, and no hope of getting off. And he's an old man by now. He's the oldest one, so he lives a long time. Remember, he was the youngest of Jesus' followers, and but now he's old. But he's the only one left. And so he gets this thing, and he doesn't know what to do with it. But he's going to write it down, but no writing paper, no nothing. So, miraculously, after 40,000 deaths, and not his, because he's on the aisle, the guy decides to release him. And so he can go home now to Ephesus and write the whole thing down and send the letters out to the seven churches. Now, isn't that miraculous of God? I mean, it wasn't Domitian decided to be kind all of a sudden. So John escaped Nero's persecution and death, and now he escaped Domitian's death, even though he was maimed and so on and so forth. But he got the only book that Jesus and the Father ever wrote. All the rest, of course, were dictated by the Holy Spirit, but they added, elements and so on and so forth, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But this one's actually dictated, word for word. So everything in this book is completely accurate because it comes straight from the mouth of God, through the Son, through the angel, to John, to write it down, precise. So if you want to read a book, in fact, this is the happiest book in the Bible. Yet Christians hate this book. It's got locusts in it, and frogs coming out of mouths and stuff like that, and they don't want to read it. So Christians hate reading this book, but it's the happiest book. As a matter of fact, it's the only book that says so. Those that read this book and hear it and then keep it, happy are you. So here's a book with happy on it. And yet everybody hates it. So I just thought you'd like to hear about the happiness part of this book.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Now, I told you that these are seven actual historical churches, but also said it's not talking about those churches. In other words, it's got two levels of meaning. The first is to those seven churches. They actually have Jezebel in one of them and another one, this and that, and so on. It's actually talking about the next 2,000 years of church history. And then the last one is the seventh church, Laodicea. That's the only one I want to talk about. That's us. We're living in the last age. And there's an angel for each of those ages. related to those seven spirits before the throne of God, saying, I'm going to tell you now what's going to happen for the next 2,000 years before the Antichrist comes and before, well, I'll include him in my story, and before the age of the Gentiles is over and the millennium starts. So it's going to actually cover 3,000 years, but 2,000 of them have to do with the church age and then the end of the Gentiles. So in other words, we're almost there. We're there. And I was just telling Peg, Mom, that I call her Mom. I was just telling her in the car that when I was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when I was filled with the Spirit, I had just been saved 6 months earlier after I'd been a pastor for some time. I wasn't saved as a pastor. I was pagan. But then I got saved. That's a change right there. Did you know a lot of ministers aren't really Christians? They aren't. And I wasn't. And I got up and told everybody, I'm not a Christian. I just told them, you're all fools because you imagine I believe any of this stuff, but I don't. Never have. I don't know if I ever will. But Carla had just been born, and that kind of ruined my... I had this problem then. I bet that little girl's going to grow up as the minister's daughter, thinking I'm a wonderful person. And I'm a complete fake. Total phony. And I just do it because it's an easy job. Imagine just one day a week, you preach a little message and they pay you. Then I can do what I want the rest of the week. So it was a cool job. And I decided to tell everybody that. And so I told them. I said, I'm not a Christian, never have been, probably never will be. You guys are idiots for following me. So this was a good message that I gave. And if some of you are Christians, if you would stand up right now, I will examine you. Because I think you're all as phony and fake as I am. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's related to this story of Laodicea. So, I went on a little journey there, so on and so forth, and I found the living God. Or, he found me. I didn't know where he lived. I mean, I knew all about him, but I didn't personally have him in my heart. I didn't personally love him. I loved this world. I loved the things of this world. I had pride of life. I don't know if there's anybody here that has that experience, but I wanted to be, you know, the greatest in this world. I didn't want to be something in the kingdom. I wanted to do my own thing. Go to bed when I want, you know, eat what I want, sleep the way I want. So I just do my own thing. I didn't want some God telling me what to do, where to go, and what not to do. Just ruin my lifestyle. And so he ruined my lifestyle. Kind of like John. It was a problem for me. Now I'm going to be crippled. But anyway, I'd heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I did not accept. Being born again was enough for me, you know, but this thing of speaking in tongues and having feathers come out your mouth and so on, it just seemed silly to me. Speaking in tongues and so on and so forth. So I didn't really want the extra credit thing. I just thought that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was just, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, I didn't want it. It was bad enough being a Christian now and I had to behave. I didn't want to also have to be ridiculous. You know, I didn't want to do that. And so I was sophisticated, you know, good schooling and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't want to look ridiculous. Has anybody else ever thought of that? Anyway, so 6 months later, nevertheless, I got healed miraculously and filled with the Spirit in a dream. And in this dream, I hated somebody. And in this dream, that person came into the dream as I was going into this garden. And I was so ticked off that that person entered into the dream thing there, because it was kind of cool. Because the angels were singing, and this is the only part I want to tell you about. They were singing, He is coming soon. He is coming soon. He is coming soon. And I remember hearing it three times. And I never thought about it till right now. I mean, I just thought about it. that he's coming soon. That was a message. I didn't pay attention to that. I just was noticing that that's what they were singing. And I, at that moment, went over and I asked that person, whom I hated, to forgive me and confess that I was wrong. In the dream. I wouldn't have done it in real life, but in the dream I did that. And I recognized that they had not done any harm to me in the dream. I was the one, because they tried to get me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's one thing I didn't like about that. They wanted me to be ridiculous like they were. And so I resented that. Anyway, in the dream, I didn't. I went over and asked for forgiveness, and then I went over to this little arbor where the angels were singing, and I fell on my knees, my hands went up in the air, and I began to speak in tongues, miraculously, because I couldn't do it in the daytime because my brain was working. But in the dream, I had no brain to stop me. You see that? I knew I was way too smart. Like, he revealed it to the babes, but he hides it from the wise, you know, and it's me. I'm too smart. If you're a Christian and you think, you won't get anywhere. But if you're an idiot, you don't know anything, and so on and so forth. But I was a thinker. I like to think. So I knew I was doomed. I would never be pleasing to God, but I was a Christian, but just barely. But now, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, so I'm going all the way with Jesus. You know what? There's no way to stop me now. So that soonness is that I don't think he was saying soon like 2,000 years, like he said. You see, it said that earlier in the Bible. In fact, it's in this book of Revelation. He's coming soon. But that was 2,000 years ago. So I didn't think he was saying another 2,000 years. I think he was saying, before you die. Remember, I should have died a couple of years ago, and I didn't. That's because I think what he was telling me was not just that he's coming soon. In my lifetime, I think he was telling me, you'll see my return. So get ready. And so I needed to be not just born again, but also filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit. And that happened right there. And I woke up in bed with my hands up in the air speaking in tongues, which I wouldn't have done under normal circumstances because it wasn't sophisticated. And it would ruin my reputation as a serious pastor. But I'm telling you all that to say that God is pretty clever to pick sinners. Did you know that God loves sinners? Yeah. Is that not amazing?
That's awesome.
That's how I got in. I got in because I was not what I ought to be, but I was what I was. And I never hid that from God or myself. I might lie to other people, but I never lied to myself or to God. I knew I wasn't a Christian. I knew I wasn't a believer. I knew I didn't. I believed everything it said in the Bible in my head, but I believed none of it in my heart. I didn't want to love somebody else or take care of others or something. It just seemed like such a waste when you could spend all your waking moments on being awesome yourself. Has anybody ever thought that? You thought that? Good. Randy, good. I love it. So I was what you call a real sinner. You know, there's no doubt about it. I never, ever did a good thing in my life, never thought a good thing. I always thought everything evil, nasty, you know, etc. And so I knew when the Bible said sinner, I knew what that meant, because that was me. I never argued with it. I never thought it wasn't true. I admitted it right away to myself, to God. I don't care. But I don't care if there is a God or not. I don't want to follow him. I just want to do my own thing. And I didn't call it sin, but he did. But it's okay with me. I don't care what you call it. I'm going to do my own thing. But that day he ruined me, and then when he baptized me with the Holy Spirit, now I'm really ruined. Now I have two things against me. One, I'm a Christian idiot. Two, I'm a tongue-speaking Christian idiot swinging from the chandeliers, and whatever all that means. I didn't even know what all it meant, but, you know, I was checking into it. I did see it was in the Bible. So that changed my life dramatically. So my prayer is that everyone, as Paul said, should not only be born again, but immediately, right afterward, and it did happen to me in a few months, speak in tongues as well. be baptized in the Holy Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, I didn't really know what it meant. I just knew there was power somehow. I thought the power was that I could now do miracles and stuff like that. You know, powerful things. But it actually meant the power to kill off my old man. The power to kill Jim. And now I realize, if I'd have known, I wouldn't have gone forward. God wants to kill your old man so that you just do what he says, when he says, how he says it. So he was reducing me to zero. I wasn't just going to get a bad reputation. Yeah, I was going to be dead to this world. And all my dreams and all my, you know, magnificent brilliance. And did you ever think that you were special, awesome? Well, I did. But I didn't apologize for it like so many people. I didn't hide it. I knew exactly what I wanted. I want this world, and that's it. And I want to be emperor. I don't want to be just a low person on the totem pole. I want to go to the top of the top of the top. And so now that was over. I ruined my life right there. It was over. Saved, filled with the Spirit, now idiot complete. Do you know that pastors are struggling nothings? I mean, they're just... I mean, there's not a lot of glory to it. I mean, if you build a big church and stuff, well, then you're kind of glorious. But as you can tell, I didn't do that. So here we all are. This is it. This is the glory right here. Can you see it? Can you see it? Amen. So, and I'm totally happy now because I'm dead. If I weren't dead, I wouldn't be, but I'm totally dead. So, like, whatever God gives me, that's great. Amen? And so I thank God for everything. I'm a worshiper and a praiser. I was up at 2:30 this morning. Didn't go back to bed. And, you know, I love to thank God, praise God, read His Word, you know, so on and so forth. And I love Him. I'm a total, what I never thought I would ever be, a total lover of God. Total. Nobody has to stimulate me. It is totally from within. So you could put me on a desert island and I'd be totally happy. Gouge my eyes out, you know, do whatever you're going to do, and that may well happen, but I'm okay with it. Why? Because I'm just in love. Once you're in love, you don't care about this world. Once you realize, because how many got problems? You do. You have problems. And so, but problems are nothing. I just laugh at them. Why? Well, who cares? Who cares about your health or about your relationships or about your wealth or lack thereof? Who cares? When you have Jesus loving you, the maker of heaven and earth and so on. So I'm totally a true believer. And it's not a joke for me. I give up everything. I don't really care. So this book is all about the last days, and each church has a sin in it, or several. But usually there's one main sin. So it's talking about a whole age. For example, the first century, which was at the time John wrote, in fact, it was over. As he died the next year, in 96 AD, as he died, Trajan became the emperor, and he killed him off. So that was the third persecution, so he escaped two of them, but he got killed on the third one. And it was a severe persecution of Christians. They were out to decimate them, just like Israel. Get rid of everybody that's a Christian. So that's why Israel going through her thing right now, she doesn't have any friends. And so we're her only friends now. That's sad. Because we... Yeah. I mean, it's like, well, we'll try to help you. We'll pray for you. We'll get some Old Testament scriptures and try to find out why you got it. But the truth is that God loves Israel. And so He's got a special surprise for them, just as He did for me, a complete people that have sinned all over the place. Did you know that Jewish people are sinful? Some of them are stubborn. And some of them are just stiff-necked. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. And I've quoted that. So, they're stubborn and stiff-necked. Thank God none of us are. Thank God. So they deserve what they get. Some of them are really nasty type people and so on, and they're obnoxious and so on and so forth. Have you ever met anybody like that? People that are obnoxious and stubborn and just hard to get along with. Often they're in your family. There are often people in your very family like that. And if you're a typical Christian, you judge them. Like, why are they breathing? Why are they in this family? You know, why do they bother the earth with their existence? You know. Nobody thinks like that? Well, I do. I think stuff like that all the time. And so those thoughts just come to you. I'm not saying they're from the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying they come to you. To think that, and you try to squelch them down as though you were a good Christian for squelching them down, when in fact you actually thought that. You ever thought that of somebody? What is wrong with that person?
I hope that by 6 days of dealing with me, they go to God and say, why?
Amen.
Maybe God will give them an answer that they really need.
Amen. So God wants us to be broken, dead to this world, and John was. John was completely in love with the Lord, and that's what he wants. Now, that's called hot. And the only group that is going to make it into the millennium will be that group, the hot. The cold, unsaved, they won't make it, and the lukewarm. We don't know what's going to happen, but they won't be ready, so they won't make it either in the sense of being married to the Lamb. They won't go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So here's this whole scripture that is in the third chapter, 14th verse. So let's read it. I love this. This is so powerful because it's referring to our age. And this could cover anywhere from the 19th century, beginning when Napoleon put the Pope down, for one thing, 1805. And the French Revolution had taken place in 1787, 89, and it pretty much had run its course and so on. So it was a dismal time for the church. It was a dismal time, and the Pope has never recovered. They've never been able to fully recover. 1929, Mussolini gave them back, you know, their 10-acre portion, but basically they never recovered their glory and their grandeur and so on and so forth. So the Protestant Reformation began the weakening, and Napoleon kind of finished them off, put them in their place. So they were never again to rise. That doesn't mean they're not rich today. It just means they're not as powerful as once they were to tell kings what to do, and nations could be interdicted by them and so on. At any rate, during that time, if that starts the postmodern world, I would say that the Renaissance and the Reformation began the modern world. In other words, that's the Tree of Philadelphia, the candlestick, the church. And that angel said, the message to that angel, the sixth church that started with Martin Luther and the Reformation and the Renaissance and all that, is he found no sin in the church of that age. In other words, he did in every other age. That was the only one where he said, this reformation of the Roman Church is the true Catholic religion. And he said, I don't see a sin in them. So he didn't say repent of anything. That's the only church like that. Now there's another church that also got a pretty good mark and so on. So it looks like, if you read church history the way I just indicated, that the history of the world is one where God is actually ruling the whole time. It looks like men are ruling. It looks like bad guys and good guys all put together. But actually, since the church started, God has been watching over it to separate the lukewarm from the hot and the hot from the cold. And you have to be cold in order to become hot. You can't be lukewarm and become hot. You can't be lukewarm and then you have to go back to cold and then you can become hot. I'll explain that again. The only way you can, in other words, a lukewarm church can't convict a pagan, a heathen, somebody who's an unbeliever. Their light isn't bright enough. But a hot can convict both the lukewarm that you're not what Jesus wanted. And therefore, that's what happened to me. I went straight from cold to hot. You've got these things now you can put under your sink, and it's instant heat. Or if you had a cup of water and you wanted to have coffee, it just gives you instant hot. Just put it, it's right away hot. So we know it's physically possible to stir up those molecules. Just immediately you got hot. So now you can have instant hot. So you can go, you can't go from lukewarm though and just warm it up slowly, even with the thermostats. They take a while. But the truth is, in the Bible, as a spiritual truth, you can't go from lukewarm to hot. You have to go back to cold, and then you can get the instantaneous thing. So in other words, I'll put it differently. You have to be a sinner for God to love you as a cold, not as a lukewarm. He does love the lukewarm, but he loves them in such a way as to rip off their mask so they go back to cold so then he can save them. And he wishes that you were cold or hot. But if you're lukewarm, he's going to vomit you out of his mouth. Spew you right up, or that's God's word, which we'll see. So God is saying to the church in these last days, whether it's just the 20th century or it's the 19th and 20th, it's still to this day, we're in that last Laodicean church, and multitudes of pastors and scholars think that this particular little portion refers to us, to the last days, just before the Lord's return. And as the last 3.5 years of the Antichrist, you know, where the Jews get it, and so on and so forth. So if we're living in that age, and I believe we are, if we're living in that age, it could happen in our time, and that's why I told you about my own story, is I believe that was 42 years ago. I believe when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then got healed and a lot of miraculous things, I believe that he was saying to me, I'm coming soon, meaning in your lifetime. So that's why I'm telling you. So get people ready. Because judgment day is coming for much of the world, and then a marriage for the rest of you who are hot. Because the wise virgins are being separated from the foolish virgins. The wise are the ones that are completely filled with the Holy Spirit and emptied of themselves, as happened to me. And so they're wise because they don't labor. They don't work. They don't help God out. God does it all. Then they believe in that, and then they let him fill, you know, the Holy Ghost do all the rest. He empowers you to be able to die out. I mean, it's hard to kill your flesh. I mean, it's impossible. If you have a lustful nature, you can't kill it. You can suppress it. You can, you know, try to stay distracted and so on, but it's still there. If you're, and it's not just the kind of lust that's obvious, but there's the lust of the eyes and the lust of, you know, the things of this world and so on. So you can't just get rid of that. As well, I don't really want what she has. Yes, you do. You know, if you're envious, you're envious. If you have fear, you have fear. If you're jealous, you have if you're a judgmental person, you're a judgmental. You know, you can't just get rid of that. I'm not going to be judgmental, but you are. Or let's say you're impatient with people. Lord, take away my impatience. He won't. You'll notice that he doesn't answer those kind of prayers. It'll just make you more impatient. God, now I'm ticked off at you for not doing that. And I wanted you to do it right now. And if you have an anger problem, you'll have an even more anger problem if you ask God to help you on that. I mean, it makes you mad when he doesn't do what you say right away, you know. Because you want him to answer your prayers immediately. Why else pray them? You're desperate. God, you know, it's down to you now. Do it. And then when he doesn't do it, it just brings out more sin on your part. It's like, well, I'm never going to get this. All right, I'm not even going to be a Christian. And you know you still are, but you're going to be, you know, ticked. And then he notices that. I mean, he noticed that he notices. You know, he doesn't like it when you do it that way. And so he wants it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, your neighbor, yourself, and so on. So God has this kind of absolute understanding of hot. That hot is boiling hot. It's burning hot. The Greek word is zestos. In other words, I want you to be a Christian with zest, with passion, with everything you've got. Spirit, soul, body. It's amazing. So he's going to separate out the bride from the bridegroom. The bride from the whore, and the wheat from the chaff, and the tares, and so on and so forth. He's going to make all these separations inside the church, 20 of them. Because that's what's going to happen in our day right now. As the end is coming, Israel is going to be separated, true Israel from the remnant of Israel that's be holy. So you're going to have some Jewish people turning to the Lord, and that's happening right now. As Israel gets into her furnace right now, you can see the whole world's mad at her right now for, kicking out all those other people. And so right now she's having trouble, but our president's okay. So he's just telling her, hey, if somebody's doing that to you, then you have a right to defend yourself and so on. But I'll tell you, the world community is not quite there. And so Israel's got fewer and fewer friends now, and we're one of the few big group of friends that they have. And the one thing they don't like about us is our Christian views, and the one thing that we have is our Christian views. One of the reasons that we like Israel, because it's in the Bible. So we read it, that God still loves Israel, and he's going to redeem a bunch of them, and that's the part they don't like. But we're the only ones they have, so they have to kind of put up with us, kind of hug us from a distance, thanks. But what they're really after is our money and our political influence rather than our Jesus. But when we hug them, we put a little Jesus into it. They hate that. Don't give us your scriptures. I read the Old Testament once, and so on. So they just don't like that. So, can't you see that God has a sense of humor? He likes to do stuff no one else can do. All right, here they are. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Laos means the layman, and Dickians is from Dike, which means lawful. So the people under the law, okay? So the Laodiceans. Write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, it actually doesn't say that. It means Jesus was the one who originally created the world. Jesus, we know Jesus as Redeemer of the created world, but he also was there. And the whole world was created by him and for him, for his own pleasure. So Jesus, the world belongs to him. He is the Lord of the world. He's the Lord of the kings of the world. Everything is here is his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's all his. So he can do what he wants. But what he wants is for people to be forgiven if they're sinful. So he has to make sure everybody knows they're sinful. That's why, has everybody here eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? In other words, you tried to figure out what right and wrong was, good and evil, true and false. And then you played God. Well, I know what you just did is wrong. And so I'm judging you. Did you know that Christians can judge other people? And even the Christians. Christians will judge Christians. Well, you believe in sprinkling. We believe in dunking, and so on. So Christians fight over stuff, kill. They're so big on, we're the true Christians. You're not. You guys are going to hell. We're the only ones that will be in heaven. So the Christians have fought over that stuff for 2,000 years. And so, how many know that when it messes up the mission field when you go and tell them, let's say you're a Catholic and you tell them about God being a loving Father, and then the Presbyterian next door, but we hate the Presbyterians, and then the Presbyterians say we serve the loving Father and we hate the Catholics, and that kind of messes up their mission. How come you love God, and then you hate your neighbor? Isn't there a scripture about that? How can you love God and then hate your neighbor? So there is a confusion today in the world about Christians being hypocrites. And so the world has never understood how come we fight each other so badly and we all call ourselves Christians. Well, I know, but they're not true Christians like we are. We're the true Christians, the pure And then you find, you know, they're sleeping with somebody or stealing the money or whatever else. How many know that Christians turn out to be phony? And the world catches them. And the world loves it when some minister goes off. And they just love that kind of stuff. And it's happened right here in Dallas. It's happened right here in Dallas. Right here. Ministers can be as phony as you can imagine. Like I told you, I was a complete phony. So I just got up. I don't think many ministers have done what I did. Like Peggy's standing up right now. But I believe that it's good for a minister to get up and tell all his sins. Amen? Just don't remember them. otherwise you might get distracted on my sins and then you'd forget your own. I know that all have sinned. And all have fallen short of the glory of God. I wouldn't mind telling you all my sins, but I know you'd never forget them. you just every time you'd see me, you'd think of it. I don't care about them because I've been forgiven. Amen? But you do care about them because you're trying to figure out some way to distract from looking at yourself. Amen? So, I've told you some mild ones, but I've kept the big ones to myself. Amen. Did you know that Christians can sin? Even after you're a Christian, you can sin. But you're not going to be ready when Jesus comes back because he doesn't want Christians to keep sinning. He wants you to repent when you sin. He doesn't mind that you sin. He just wants you to repent as soon as you do. God, sorry I just judged that person. Sorry I was just angry at that person. Sorry I was, you know, mean and so on and so forth. Yeah, just confess that every day. Amen. That's why I have to spend 4 or 5 hours a day in prayer. Because people irk me. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. The irking spirit, you know. And they just irk me for, you know, one reason or another. Has anybody else got that problem? But I think a lot of Christians aren't Christian. They don't live up to my high standard. Amen? Woo-hoo! But that's why I spend a lot of time with God, and he points out, Jim, you see that thing you're judging with that person? You got that. I do not. Not like they are. And then in a little while, you know, I'll be driving along, and boom, it'll come right to me. Wow, what you just did is 50 times worse than what that person did. You ever had that? Where God catches you. You catch others because they're really obvious. But you hide your sins so well, they're well hidden even from you. But the Holy Spirit can find those. What about this? So people that are pretending like they're better than others, God, the Holy Spirit will point that out to you. Now, what do we mean? Just simply to have a little sense of humor there is, you've done it too. So all the sins that are in the Bible, fear, everybody's got it. Lust, bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy, self-pity. You know, all of those. Doubt, unbelief, etc., etc., etc. And they're all in everybody. And we have them until we don't. And you don't when you're dead. As soon as you're dead, they don't bother you anymore. So what God wants us to do is have hot Christians who are so in love with Jesus that you're praising Him and looking at Him and beholding Him, you're changed. Beholding Him, we are changed from one degree of glory to another. And you just don't look on the negative things that you've done or something. Just look at the positive things of Jesus loving you as a sinner. And then if he points out a new one, he still loves you. He's never pointing out a sin in your life for you to feel bad about it. Or for you to change. The only reason he points out a sin is telling you what one he's working on. Jim, I'm working on this one right now. Wow, that's a bad one. Who did that? You. Oh. Is that one of mine? I don't think so. I think that fits so-and-so. Now I'm looking on that. May I work on that one? Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? Well, I'll have to, you know, expose you. And so, in front of everybody? Well, if that's what it takes, how would you like it? While I'm sleeping? While no one's looking? Could you just get rid of it while I'm not cooperating on that, because I might want to keep that one. How many of you have certain special sins you'd like to keep? I mean, those are your favorites. In case God doesn't come through, you can get him with one of those. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, like anger. I mean, that's a good one to keep. How many have an anger problem? You know, the only reason you keep it, you know it's a sin. The only reason you keep it is in case God does something wrong, and then you have to hurt him for that. God, I'll show you something right here. You know, that, you're not letting me have any fun down here. I don't know, if you're a Christian, you don't get to have fun. No fun at all. God is not fun. That's cheap and shallow and vain and foolish, wicked. So, but actually God's not mad at your sins at all. He already paid for them all on Calvary. Paid for them. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for every one of your sins. Past, present, future. And all he wants to do is look at him, have fellowship with him. But one of your sins is, I don't want to have fellowship with him. Well, that's a problem. It's not going to work. How do you know? You have to be hot. Zest. Zestos. All right. Now, this is what it says. Unto the angel, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, the witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. So God's into works. But you don't do the works to get saved. You do the works after you're saved. In other words, he just saves you without any works. And then you want to do them because you just want to do them. That, I know your works. And here's what I know. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were. And that word wish, or I would that you were, says it like this in the Greek. That's sum buleo. Sum buleo. It means, I wish that you, for your benefit, I wish for your benefit. In other words, I don't wish that you'd do it. I wish for your benefit that you'd be free from that. I wish you'd either be cold or hot. And those go all the way back to hating me and being an atheist and, you know, just being selfish and so on. That doesn't bother me. Because at least I could save you then. I could forgive you. But because you hide your sin and because you think you're better than you were last week, or you're better than somebody else, or you're good enough. How many have thought that at times? It's, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I think I'm good enough. I mean, I think I've done a lot. You know, if you ask who's contributed the most, I think I've done more than he has, or she has, or whatever. So how many have thought to yourself, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm good enough? You're not good at all. Never have been, never will be, ever. For all eternity, you'll never be good. Did you know that? Well, because, you know why? Because only God is good. And do you know what that means? That means you have to have a relationship with God who is good, and that's the only reason they could call anything you did good, is because he did them. Right. You're just yoked with God. You're just yoked with God. And he's like the lead ox, and you're just kind of going along with him there, but you're entering into his finished work. You don't do good. He does good. And his good covers you. That's why Jesus came. So you think, well, I helped out a little bit. I cooperated. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. Well, don't take any credit for anything. Just keep your eyes on the fact that it's easy pulling. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's easy pulling if you don't do any pulling. And so the lead ox is the only one that's really pulling the plow or the, you know, the thing behind it. The other one enters into that power, into that strength. When we are weak, he is strong. So on a daily basis, you are humbled. Does anybody notice that? That every day, there are areas of your life that are not hot. They're lukewarm or cold. Every day. And every day, he wants to show you that so that you humble yourself and put your hand over your mouth. And go, what do I know? If God says that's the case, that's the case. I thought I had a little divine spark in me. How many believe that, you know, you have a little goodness in you? Well, you don't. Never have and never will. God will always be the only one that's good. No one else is good but God. Jesus said that. No one else, why do you call me good? No one else is good except God only. That's what it says in the Greek. Only God. So there's only one that's good, God. And so if you're good, you're married to him. You're related to him. And so that's what he's trying to say. Now, he had said, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold, but you're not. So then, because you are lukewarm, this is the church in the last days, let's say from Napoleon till today. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, I'll vomit you out. So, because you're lukewarm. Why is that? Because hot has a benefit and cold has a benefit. The cold benefit, unsaved, is that you try to get pleasure for a season. Did you know that the wicked in this world, who are cold to God, they're not saved. They at least are going after it. They're trying to get all the, you know, money they can get and get all the girls they can get and all the music and whatever else pleases them. And they're just going for it in this world. They're selfish, completely 100% selfish. Well, at least they get a little bit of pleasure for a season. But then they're never really satisfied. I don't care how much, you know, Gates gets or Trump or whoever's out there trying to gather it all. They're never satisfied. They always want more and more and more. So that's a problem, that they're really never happy. As a matter of fact, they have frowns on their faces because all the wealth in the world doesn't help Highland Park. Or it doesn't help anybody else. They still have drug problems. They have all kinds of problems just like everybody else. So whatever you get, however beautiful you are, Elizabeth Taylor, however beautiful you are, you're not going to have a good marriage. I don't care what what you get in this world, you'll never be satisfied. So the cold can get momentary pleasure. But imagine the lukewarm, who are kind of Christian. Maybe they even started out as a Christian, but then they're not completely for the devil, but then they're not completely for Jesus either. And so they have misery in both worlds, this one and the next one. Because when you're a holy person, you're trying to be, you know, somewhat as nice as you can be, you're also unhappy. Because you can't do fun things. Just as I said before, that bothers young people usually. It's like, I want to have a little bit of fun. Am I right? Yeah, you'd like to have Jesus plus a little fun too. Not just Jesus. Oh, boy, we're doing Jesus again. I loved it when my kids were growing up because we forced them to have prayer at the table and so on and so forth. And I would have real long prayers. Because, it's a time you get them together and so on. And Margaret would volunteer, for example, Dad, could I pray? Thank you for this food. Amen. And it's whereas mine would go on, and then we'd even sing in tongues and so on and so forth. And they hated it. Dad, could I do the prayer again? I thought it was good to wear them down and, kind of make them really learn the prayers that are hot, with zeal. I didn't want those quick prayers, sermons. I don't like just 20-minute sermons. I like hours. Really get into it. Get deep into it. Isn't it funny? You lose members that way. We've lost this whole front row, the two rows here. But I have them all. I'm having fun. Did you know there's more fish in the sea? many as you run off, God will always keep me supplied. Do y'all see that? I will never go out of business. Sooner or later, you'll have to come back. No, really, I'm serious. When you have the truth, you have the truth. And so, I'm not worried about it because I know sooner or later you're going to hit a brick wall. Yahoo! I'm not praying for it. I'm just saying it'll happen. I'm just saying. And you realize, I need the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. All right. Anyway, so then because you're neither hot nor cold, you look warm and so on, I'll spew it out of my mouth, because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods. I'm even richer and have nothing. I have need of nothing. I don't need anything. In other words, I'm okay. Why do I need to be more than lukewarm? Because you say, I'm good enough. I've done enough. I go to church at least once a month. Okay, I go 2 times a week. Doesn't make any difference. You can never get enough. Did you know that I have meetings every day? I don't know if you know this, but you could actually come to meetings every day in the week. Because I teach in the morning and then in the afternoon sometimes and then at night and so on. I just want you to know you can do that all the time. We're always open for business. Amen. I just love it. That's why I have 2 churches, one in Dallas, one in Fort Worth. So it's kind of convenient, kind of like a little convenient store here and another one over there and so on and so forth. So you can always come. If you really are desperate, you could come all the time. And I'm always ready to teach one or 20 or 2,000. I don't care. I'm so eager to share and to teach and to mentor and to kill the people. Kill your flesh. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Don't you? I mean, and God wasn't nice with me. I'm not being nice with you either. You know, just, if he hates sin, he hates it. Amen? How many have a favorite sin? Don't raise your hand. How many have a favorite sin you're keeping? Just, you know, you've gotten rid of your really bad ones. You wouldn't be in church if you didn't. You've gotten rid of your really bad ones, but you're keeping a few back, just a few hidden ones, that just in case he doesn't come through, you have those to get him with. How many have one of those? Like fear. Or worry. That's a sin. That's sin. But he doesn't want you to have that. Judgmentalism. A critical spirit. Oh, I love all these sins. I've memorized a lot of them. I've got hundreds of them. In case anybody needs help, I can help you, because I've memorized all the big words, like lasciviousness. It's a big word, but I know exactly what that means.
Not praising all the time.
Amen.
Not praising all the time.
Amen. That's a good one. Not praising all the time. Because it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen? All right, watch this. Don't worry. Peggy's getting up. She's nervous, but it'll be okay. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have nothing, and don't you know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? Five characteristics of the lukewarm. In other words, the reality is, you're not rich. You're poor. You're not clothed. You're naked, etc., etc. So I'm going to counsel you, he says in the next verse. I counsel you, sum buleo, to buy of me gold refined in the fire. But he's not talking about gold. He's talking about spiritual wealth, like your faith, which is more precious than gold. And what happens? It has to be tested in the fire. It has to be put through the fire. When you say you have faith, you'll be tested. You really have faith? You really love me? Yes, sir. And then a little trouble comes, and what happens? People begin to fall away a little bit. I love it. I love it when people do that. I love it. Because then it shows that you are fake and phony and not hot. And white raiment, that you may be clothed, that your shame of nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes. You say you see, but you're actually blind. You say you see. No, I understand. No, I got it. I got Pastor Jim's doctrine down. I listened to four of his tapes, and I got them pretty much memorized. So, you know, there are people that know my teachings better than I know them. They listen to them over and over again. But that will not actually save you. You can't be saved by the tapes. So you got to do it all on your own. Amen? I mean, this has to be your own journey. I can't inspire you. I am not inspiring. I won't. I can just share what God says to share. That's it. But then if you want this, you have to desperately go after it. You can't have me come and hold your hand and so on. This is up to you and God. You and God. Amen? Amen. Isn't that exciting? So you have to get it all on your own. Yeah. That's powerful. Pastor, could you come over? Yes, but I'll just rebuke you. So are you sure you want me to? You know? Okay. All right. Now, let me see here. As many as I love, this is what God says when he loves somebody, I rebuke. Pastor, could you rebuke me? You know, see, that I never get calls like that. I get calls like, Pastor, I'm having problems right now, and if I could just tell you my story, I think I could depress you as much as I'm depressed, and then see if you could solve it. Instead of, I'm just going to rebuke you. Isn't that amazing? My husband is, oh, stop right there. Are you saying that your husband is worse than you are? Yes. He is. Wait till I tell you the story. Just listen to it. I don't want to hear it. Why don't you just after your own log in your eye instead of the speck that's in his eye? It's not a speck. It's a forest. We're not talking just a log or two. But how many know that you're always the fault?
Amen.
You're always the fault. And so I'm always going to zero in on that. So if somebody says, my husband, I immediately, I'm going to say, well, why'd you marry him?
Well, I thought it was God, but he actually deceived me.
You mean God?
No, my husband. He deceived me. He oversold. I mean, all men do that. I did that with Peggy. I mean, it's just, it's a natural thing to make yourself out awesome. But in fact, after about 5 minutes, you're boring or nasty or whatever. Completely self-oriented. Peggy found that out after about 25 years of marriage. He doesn't care for me. What do you mean? You know, I thought you were going to care for me. When did you think that? Well, we got married, you said, thus and so. Oh, I just lied. Remember you say that those things in the marriage thing? How many are aware of that? To death us do part. And the truth is, a man will say it, but it's just to get whatever he wants, and then he's tired of that. Go on to something else. Hello? This is real. So, men are unreliable. I mean, I don't mean every single man. I mean, pastors are different, but just a general kind of man. They're not reliable. So, women generally tend to marry men, and that's a problem right there. It shows me how foolish they are. So, God knows what he's doing when he makes us imperfect, and then he tells us, you'd have to be married to me first. That'll make the marriage work. So, if you fall in love with Jesus first and then get married, it works. Right?
Amen.
So, the lukewarm and the cold, those are the two categories that won't make it into the marriage supper. Because only the hot can convict a lukewarm and can convict a cold. So that they repent. Okay. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Chasten means send through the fire. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, he's not standing at a door. He's standing at the door of your life, of your soul, of your heart. He's standing at your door, and he's knocking. And these are talking about Christians. Could I come in? He won't barge in. He's a gentleman. He won't just push the door down. So he wants you to hear his voice and open the door. Come on in, Lord. In other words, I consent to whatever you want to show me and do. And so, when he comes in, he's coming in to kill off any sin that he sees. That's why he walks among the candlesticks, to find out if there's any sin in the church of that age. And the only thing the Holy Spirit is saying about the last day's church, our church, the seventh church, is lukewarm. We're Christians, but we didn't go all the way. We're Christians, but we started, but we didn't go through the fire, and we didn't get through all the sin out of our lives. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Again, these are not my ideas. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. The church in the last day, the Laodicean church, that church is lukewarm. In other words, it's good, but it's not. Doesn't want to go all the way. It just wants to barely get in. Or if I could just be a doorkeeper in the house, you know, if I could just get in the door, I think I'm in. Hope I'm in. But how do you know that faith is not how you go to heaven? Faith should be living true faith, which is active in love. So that you're dead to this world, dead to yourself, not selfish anymore, but you're led entirely by the Holy Spirit, directed by the Spirit. Those that are called the sons of God who are led by the Spirit. But not just that you're born of the Spirit or filled with the Spirit, but completely emptied of yourself so that you can be led easily by the Holy Spirit into whatever God wants you to say or do or be. Behold, I stand at the door. If any man hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him, sup with him, and he with me. In other words, we'll have fellowship. That's how you get heaven on earth. To him that overcomes all the sin in his life, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In other words, I've come into you. I want you also to come into me. Because I want to have fellowship now where I'm on earth and you're in heaven. Both. I'm with you down there, you're with me up here. Where I am, you may be also. So that's a marriage. That's a intimate relationship with the living God. And that's how you become hot. So, if you sin, that's not a problem. Because he forgives sin. But, if you sin, he wants that gone so it doesn't rule your life. Let's say you suddenly got angry at somebody. Let's say you had anger. Let's say you were frustrated, impatient. That's okay. That's just a sin. So God, I can see that I'm frustrated and angry. And so I'm just telling you that, and I see that. And then God says, well, I showed it to you. Oh, okay. So that's what you're working on, in other words, right now. You want that to be gone so it doesn't ruin my life down here. You don't go to heaven because you have no sin. You go to heaven because Jesus Christ is your righteousness. It isn't because you're actually completely perfect and righteous. I mean, no, you're never going to see that. No one else is either. You're not going to see perfect righteousness. You're not going to always have wonderful feelings. You're not going to always have psychological, clarity and so on. You're going to be confused. That's why he wants you to constantly go back to him. And it kind of wastes your life because you have to pay attention to him all the time. Oh, he wants to do it on a daily basis. It just messes you up really big. If you have your own agenda and you don't have his, you're lukewarm. So he wants to have just one agenda, his. Let's imagine, God wants to be God. It's like, for our benefit. Exactly for our benefit. I'll tell you what, you can have heaven on earth today, and I'm testifying to it. You can have heaven on earth today, I don't care how bad it looks, how many antichrists there are and devils there are and troubles and problems and so on. You can have happiness right now, all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's not for heaven, that's for here. That's for now. You can always rejoice as long as you're not looking at somebody else, blaming someone else, and excusing yourself. Amen. But if you realize that all your unhappiness is due to your own decisions, not to God, not to the devil, not to some other person, that's not why you're unhappy. You're not unhappy because God did something wrong, or the devil did something wrong, or somebody else did something wrong. You're unhappy because of your own misery. That's why he says you're miserable. That's your true condition. You're lukewarm and you're miserable. Lukewarm people are not happy people. So most of the churches in Dallas, most of the churches are lukewarm. And that's what they produce out of their little factory, is they produce lukewarm people. They're born again, and that's about the extent of it. And they maybe bake cakes and, you know, teach Sunday school or something. But basically, they feel they're good enough. They don't want to be perfect, hot, zest, all the way. So, lukewarm, the Greek word kliaros means tepid. Kliaros means it has no benefit in this world or the next. The reason I spew you out of my mouth is you didn't get happiness here as a sinner, and you didn't get happiness here as a Christian, and so you got no happiness. You missed out on both because you were just lukewarm in the middle. Neither one of these, nor one of these. Well, I'm not a devil worshiper. Great. I'm not that bad. I mean, I have a few flaws, but not that bad. Well, wait a minute. God doesn't accept that. He wants you to be perfect. Well, perfect? How can I be perfect? Not easy. Just let the Holy Spirit kill you. How many of dead people don't ever complain? They ever gone to a graveyard? You can kick at them, stomp on their grave and so on. They don't say a thing. They don't feel anything. And so dead people don't respond. You should be dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, in other words, I'll say it differently. You should never react to other people. You should always act according to the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit. It isn't just to speak in tongues and sing happy songs and get your leg lengthened. It's actually, the purpose of it is to kill your old man and kill your flesh so that you're completely alive to him. That's what he wants to do. So now that your old man is dead, you can reckon it. And now that your flesh is not in your spirit, it's not in your heart, but it's still in your life. And so therefore, you do have them. You could never say, I never have those thoughts. I never get angry. Or I never judge anybody. That's a lie. So everybody, every day you have another sin. And so I like what Bonnie said is, well, sometimes I worship God, but it's not with all my heart or all my soul or all my strength. You know, maybe my spirit man is rejoicing, but my soul man is not. So whatever. So you say, well, Pastor, can you really do all that in this world? Sure. Yeah, you can do it on a daily basis. Just get before the Lord every day and So, Holy Spirit, whatever sin I've got in me, I want it gone today. Now I'll quit right there. How many have some sin in you that you know right now?
Amen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12. Okay. How many are lying? Now, just don't worry about it. Let God take care of all those things. You don't have to. There's no labor to it. Jesus Christ, who saved you, who created you in the first place, then He saved you in the second place. Now He's redeeming your soul and your body, everything. He does it all. He just wants you to be completely happy. You know, when you have no sin in you, you're completely happy. You're completely happy. I tell you, there's nothing like it when you're not worried about anything that's going on. When you're just so in love that you don't really care how it looks. You're not afraid of the devil. You're not afraid of, you know, anything. Because God takes care of everything. He wants that in this world, so when men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
When they see your good works, they'll know you didn't do that. That was God. And they'll glorify Him.
Amen.
So that's what the church needs to be, is showing Jesus, not how great you are. Don't show how wonderful you are. Show how powerful, glorious Jesus is to forgive you, to love you, to change you, to transform you, and to perfect you on this world. In this world before He comes back. So this Laodicean church, which is a lukewarm church, is hard to preach to because they already feel they're good enough. So you can't rebuke them because I'm not a pagan. I've been a Methodist for years. My grandmother was a Methodist. My mother was a Methodist, and I'm a Methodist. What's wrong with me? I help on on Thursday and Tuesday. I go to a Bible study and so on. I think I'm a Christian. I think I've done enough. Well, that's not the answer. The answer is right here, hot. You got to be hot all the way. Well, how many are excited about this message? Thought it was one of the wonderfulest messages you've ever heard. And you just want to testify right now. All right.
Oh, yeah. We've been hearing this a long time. And every time I hear it, it's refreshing. So
good.
It's a time of regression. It's not
it is.
Condemnation. It's not a time of...
Right.
Sadness or quiz. I just can't get there. It's a time of refreshing.
Right.
Thank God.
Yeah. Good. Who else?
A lot of times.
Don't go long. Just a couple of sentences.
It won't be long.
Okay.
A lot of times when we get all stirred up in our emotions, the devil loves to get to your emotions.
Exactly.
Lust of the eye.
Totally accurate. Totally accurate. It's the emotions that you're listening to instead of the Word of God. Bring every thought captive, bring every emotion captive, bring every desire captive. You don't know what you desire, let Him tell you. Your new man doesn't desire what your old man desired. Your new man doesn't think what your old man thought. It's all here in the Word. That's why He wrote this Word. That's why it's written. He didn't say, hear this vision and see what I'm saying. He said, write it down permanent so that it'll go to all the churches. That's why John got off the island, was able to write it, and share it with all those churches. And it isn't speaking just about those particular churches. He was using what happened right there concretely in some church to speak to our whole 19th and 20th century Laodicea.
That's right.
We're all Laodicea. We've been lukewarm since the 19th and 20th centuries. And many Christians in the last days, it says their love will grow cold. All of a sudden, their love for the Lord will just wax cold. Well, that's happening now, as there's so much pollution today in the world, and everybody says, the world's really getting so awful and bad. It's always been awful and bad. The only question is whether you, let judgment begin in the household of God, whether you are full of happiness, whether you are full of joy, whether you are full of, I want to be completely in love with Jesus every minute of every second of every day.
Right.
That's what he did for you. And if there's anything lacking, He'll do it. You can't do it. You can't help Him. You can't cooperate with Him. You just simply agree. Lord, do it. You don't have to feel that. You don't have to understand that. You don't have to desire it. Just say it. Lord, I want to be completely clean. Who else? Anyone else?
I'm just totally blessed by what you exposed as the Greek for your benefit.
Yeah.
Because when you read that verse without that understanding,
yes,
you know, I would that you be hot or cold.
Yes.
That's God as judge.
Correct.
And when you at this revelation,
right,
there's God as loving Father.
Right.
And to see that His heart is for our benefit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's changing my life.
That is powerful. Because that, and you can't get in the English, obviously, because if you say wish or would or whatever, you don't get the strength of that. That insight right there, that God is the benefactor and you are His beneficiary, He doesn't want you to do one thing. There's no law on you. It's all on Him, the promisor, to you, the promisee. I'll do it for your benefit, for your advantage, so that nothing is lost. All profit goes to you, none to me. God doesn't want anything. He's already got everything. He'll never lose what He has. But He wants you to have all that He has, so it's always for your benefit that He's going to say anything or do anything. You don't have to lift a finger. You couldn't anyway. Whatever you would do wouldn't be perfect. Everything He does is perfect. Everything you do is not. Amen. So even if you're a Christian, your works are not perfect. How did they get perfect? Let Him do it. When He does it, it's perfect. You don't have to think this thing out. You don't have to waste any time. Come unto me, all you that labor, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle, lowly of heart. Why? Because my yoke is easy. It's so easy, you don't do anything. I do all the pulling. You just enter into my finished work. I finished this before the foundation of the world. I already lived your life for you, and now I want to live my life through you and in you so that you are completely happy all the time. All the time. All the time. I mean, he's coming back for a wife that loves him. Or, betrothed, a bride. I love him. I don't need to go to heaven to be happy. I'm already happy because I know I love him and he loves me. And I'm experiencing that daily, constantly. That everything's going my way. I don't care about the Antichrist. I don't care about Putin. I don't care about Al-Qaeda. I don't care about all that stuff. I don't trust my government any further than I can throw it. They're just, loaded with criminals and corrupt people and so on and so forth. So I don't trust them. But I don't trust pastors either. Gosh, don't ever trust the pastor. Because pastors are just people. And people are just people. They just do what people do. How many know that? And you can't trust your husband. You can't trust your wife. You can't trust anybody. Put your trust in the Lord. Doesn't it say, trust not in princes, trust not in man? So that pretty much settles it. But put your trust in the Lord. Why? He's the only one you can trust. So all you need is Jesus. You get right with Jesus, it's finished. All right. Hope everybody's blessed today. I thought this was a really good message. I got it right out of the Bible. It's copied what they said in there. So you can go home and read it and see that it is good news.
Amen.
And the best has been saved till last. So we live in a time when hot will actually convict the cold and the lukewarm. That's what we're all about. He's not worried about the lukewarm and the cold. He's only worried about one thing. He's just saying to the lukewarm, no, that's not what I want. I want hot. But they can't make themselves hot. Only the hot can make them jealous. Only the hot can make the cold want to be like them when they see not you, but God. Not you at your best, but God keeping His word because He said it. So I believe that Israel's going to come all the way. I believe you'll see Israel as a nation, the only nation in the world, the only nation that will actually, in these last days, turn to the living God. And you're going to see it. And that's why I said, He's coming soon. I think that means in my lifetime, which means most of you are still going to be alive. And therefore, you get to see that. And you'll know, that's what God said. That's what God said. So let the wicked do what he wants. Just laugh at him. I mean, America is not going to become wondrous. Okay? It started out good. Remember I told you, during the time of our revolution and so on, there was no repent of this. God was pleased with what the Americans did, which was two things. One, true religion should not be persecuted and hated and joined to the state. So they let that one go. Number two, I want just government on earth, and true religion is the only way you can have it. You don't have true religion, which is free, which we're not today, by the way. Religion is 501c3 and all this stuff with the state. We're fornicating with the power as though we have to ask God and them too. No. God just wants us free. So we have to be willing to suffer right now. Be chastened. Because he doesn't want his church underneath its state. That's called Erastianism. doesn't want the church doing what the state says. Is also, if you want to, you want a tax exemption on your property, ask us, apply for it, qualify. What's what for? It's not in the Bible. I mean, the church has nothing to do with the state. We just do what Jesus said. If that's not good enough, then the state's wrong. Did you hear what I just said? So I've written a whole book on it because I believe that that's going to be the last great battle of Satan, is to try to break the church by putting it underneath the state. LBJ helped to do that, and there were others as well. So this is the time for you to see that God's going to have a free church which voluntarily loves God, no compulsion, so that we can preach the truth and not be afraid that the government's going to say this and that and so on and do this and that and so on. But it isn't because we care about the government, it's because we care about God. If you fear God, you don't worry about that. But where is God's true church today? A lukewarm church can't do it. They want to keep those things. But God wants a hot church, which is totally in love. So how many are ready to go all the way?
Amen.
How many?
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. It's good. But God loves that. He wants everyone to go all the way. Did I see any hands here in the front row? All three? It's in the second row, third row. Raise your hand. Yeah, I saw that. He just went like this, just like that. Praise God. Amen. I love it. It's good. Did you know that there's nothing to it? God does it all. God does it all. He doesn't want you to lift a finger. You're the beneficiary. Kliaros. You're the beneficiary. Everything God has ever said, all for your benefit. He kept the law for you. You don't have to keep it. It's already been kept. All right. God is good.